Hello, this is George L. Preslian, and we are doing week 9 of the Million Dollar Mind Power teleseminar series, also known as Have You Manifested $1 Million Yet? Question mark. And we're going to be working with negative thoughts today, and the website associated with this program is milliondollarmindpower.com. And our program today about negative thoughts and the energy building up towards this today has impressed me as being the most potent, the most powerful. It may be because at this time in this last week, I have started to open the program up to other people besides the ones who originally joined. There was a whole group of people who joined since the beginning, and now in week 9 I'm starting to do marketing and sales and presenting the program, which is now recordings of the program, to people who can start the program at any time, meaning that they can just go to the blog that you can access from milliondollarmindpower.com, but of course, you can't listen to any of the audios unless you have the special password. And what we're going to be doing is talking about negative thoughts today for a very special reason, because they're already, no doubt, for other people, and many I've heard of, and in my own life, doing this particular advanced module to Life Transformation System Z, the purpose and the intention was to learn about how to use collective thoughts. How to be aware what they are and how to put them into your manifesting scripts, the actual writing down of your goals and dreams. And many people are doing that using Life Transformation System Z, using the Clear Talk manifesting method, which I highly recommend because, for one thing, it's very good at managing negative thoughts. Now, the reason that it's very extremely important why we're going to be talking about negative thoughts, and in a few minutes I'll be introducing Devika Eifert, who is a licensed psychologist in Canada, and I also think is an expert on negative thoughts, and I'll tell you why when I introduce you to her, besides the fact that, of course, that's a psychologist profession. But I want to speak, first of all, from my point of view and my own expertise about handling and working with negative thoughts. And the most important thing for you to be aware of in order to get the most out of this call today and this recording and out of the program at this point and this stage is that everything that we do with Life Transformation System Z, as far as working with manifesting or handling problems or handling negative thoughts, is all done at the thought level. Now, I personally believe and feel that the energy of love is where the focusing of the mind and concentrating actually leads to, and that, you know, feeling and emotion and all of that is extremely important. I don't discount it. I just focus on focusing and concentrating because I know that's the missing element. That's the service that I'm providing with Life Transformation System Z that is something that you cannot get anywhere else. This is my very highly tested opinion of researching and looking at all this stuff for so many years, that there isn't any other place that you can get the conciseness and the practicality and the application of the ancient art of focusing and concentrating your mind, combined with the law of attraction, combined with the amazingly effective ability to literally handle any kind of negative thought. It's important to understand that to distinguish a negative thought from a negative feeling or a negative life experience. Now, you can think about in your life that you maybe have something happen to you or had something happen to you, or you feel bad or something happens that is a bad experience. Now, what we're doing here in the whole science and art of why Life Transformation System Z works so well is because we're able to handle things at the thought level. And the thought level is like, for example, if I had a bad experience, and let's say I'm feeling sick emotionally disturbed, you know, because something traumatic happened to me and I'm feeling sick. Me telling you about it like I just did right now, I'm feeling emotionally sick, or I've got a really bad headache or something like that. That's not the experience of me actually feeling that way or going through that experience. That's me telling you about it. That's a negative thought, and I just transmitted it. In my own universe, I imagine that I feel balanced and healthy and wonderful in my body. And my emotions are clear and blissful and ecstatic, and I'm in harmony with the divine universe. I just said that right now because I was just giving you an example. But even in an example, I respect the power of thought so much that I didn't want to create that situation because I was focusing and concentrating on a negative thought. And so I want you to understand that I do very much understand and believe that whatever thoughts we put out there, they do have a certain power and impact, even if you just say it once. Even if you just think it or hold it in your subconscious, or it's there because of your karma or your destiny, there's a lot of ways that the negative thoughts get broadcasted. The purpose of today's call is to not only learn more clearly what negative thoughts are, but learn how to not be afraid of them, which is part of what makes it absolutely essential. You have to, how could you be afraid of something so much that you shouldn't think it, you shouldn't do it, you shouldn't feel it, you shouldn't have it, and then handle it? It's not possible to handle something that you're just so deadly afraid of that you can't get near it. Hope you're following what I'm saying here, is that one of the very first steps in doing this work that we're going to do today, which is so important, because the more positive things that you manifest, as I have and people in this program so far have experienced tremendously huge manifestations, things coming true, and we're not done the program yet, that because we live in polarity in the universe of positive and negative, when you manifest something positive, there's bound to be some negativity that comes along with it. And so it's absolutely essential that we have to handle that. Just like you cannot send a rocket to the moon without having rocket fuel, the rocket will just sit there. If you don't have the fuel, it will not go anywhere. We've got to have a way to handle the negative thoughts when we're doing positive manifestation and working with positive thoughts and using all this mind power technology to get positive thoughts to manifest. If we do not handle the negative thoughts, then different things will happen that will either, you know, defeat you or cut you down or stop you from going forward. And that's not what we're about here. This is a very successful, long-standing way of going about living your life. It's not just something where you get some great results and then it all comes crashing down. That is, you know, one of the obstacles and the pitfalls of doing this kind of work. And this is why we're taking the time today to not only handle negative thoughts in the sense of reminding you that clear talk with the left-right list within the universe, in my own universe, the method of clear talk itself, which is part of the 9-week Mastery of Mind program, which is something you can learn in the Life Transformation Formula ebook, which is something that most people on this call already know. And if anyone's listening to this recording and you don't know Clear Talk, then you can learn it by getting the ebook or ordering the 9-week Master Your Mind program or the full complete package that includes this advanced module. And you learn the Clear Talk method and you will be able to immediately handle all of your negative thoughts. People make the mistake of sometimes thinking that, you know, it's supposed to handle your negative experiences or handle your negative feelings immediately the first time you start handling your negative thoughts. It does, when you handle your negative thoughts, start to have a positive effect on handling your negative feelings and your negative life experiences and transforming them into more and more of what you imagine is better than that. However, please remember that we're talking about handling your negative thoughts, and you can handle any negative thought, but you need to be able to focus and concentrate your mind, especially when something is so disturbing and so upsetting as some of the things that happen to us that we consider to be most negative. These are typically the times when you don't feel like focusing and concentrating your mind, or when you're literally not able to. What I propose is that with Clear Talk, you are always able to get out a piece of paper. You're always able to, you know, lay in bed or slump down in your chair or your sofa, maybe completely depressed and having the most horrible, awful things happening to you or someone you know, the worst negative things of all, and yet you could be in your mind, in your thoughts, processing and handling the negative thoughts and transforming them into what you imagine is better. That's the power of clear talk. It's tremendously powerful. And sometimes the deepest, darkest, most awful negative thoughts, I have seen it happen over and over again, become literally the most successful manifestations that you've ever seen. People have called me up that they have a deadly disease that the doctors have told them they will not be healed from. They and their children are on the verge of or in homelessness, and this is the same person. And a few months later, after I gave them a free copy of the ebook to help them out in such a dire situation, they practiced the clear talk. A few months later, the doctor was saying they did not understand how the disease was gone. They were moving into a new home that they had purchased, and this is the kind of power I'm talking about. When you're in your deepest, darkest places, or even when you're just having some annoying things happen, whatever the range of negative thought, from the most horrible and awful to just a mildly negative experience, rather, you can always extract the negative thought, transform it into what you imagine is better, and often it is these very most worst thoughts that can transform into the very best realities. Again, because of the law of polarity and the way things work down here on planet Earth. So that is just how I wanted to get started here, so that you understood a little bit where I'm coming from with the negative thoughts and why I think it's so absolutely essential to handle negative thoughts if you're going to be doing this manifesting stuff or doing this mind power stuff. I would like to introduce you now to someone that we have on the call with us who is been around for me my whole life since I was born, because she is my mother as well as a licensed psychologist. It was a surprise and an honor for me when months ago, she offered to participate in a certain way with this advanced module, this Have You Manifested $1 Million Yet? Advanced Module to Life Transformation System Z. And the way it came about is that we were studying, I was sharing with Devika Eifert, who is my mother and on the call with us right now, that I do surveys and people fill out questionnaires on my site about what is their biggest problem with manifesting. And there's two, I've read thousands and thousands of these surveys, and the two most prominent problems that people have is focusing and concentrating your mind and negative thoughts. You know, handling negative thoughts or just having them in the first place. And so, since Devika is a licensed psychologist, this is something that she's an expert on. And I also, because as you know, as most people know, I study and read the destiny cards for people. And Devika's destiny card, her main destiny card, her birth card, is the Seven of Clubs. And I have often said that the Seven of Clubs are the very best card to master Life Transformation System Z, because it is a mind magic, mind transforming system, and the Seven of Clubs is known as the mental magic card. What happens with the Seven of Clubs in their lifetime, the general story of that card, is that they're challenged with negative situations and negative thoughts, and they then either meet that challenge or fail to meet that challenge in their life, and become the masters of transforming negative thoughts. So this is a person, Devika is a person who not only has mastered negative thoughts in the sense that she is, for many years, a very successful psychologist helping many people with their problems and their life situations to transform them into something better and help them to feel better and have better situation in their life. But she's also, I think, personally, in my evaluation of her destiny card, on a life path where she is, you know, very far down the road with mastering negative thoughts. So we're very lucky, I think, to have her on the call today. Are you there still?
I am. Hello.
So,
And I'm...
Yes.
Yes, I'm very happy to be with you, you and all of you, whoever's there today. And I noticed right away when you were talking about one of the most important aspects about negative thoughts is that our response to them so very often is a fearful one. We try to ignore them in our fear. We try to push them away or deny them, or we're afraid that they're going to be big, bad boogeymen because we know that their thoughts have so much power and et cetera, et cetera. So when you said that, you really led into the one of the first and probably most important things that I want to share. And the way I would put it is becoming friendly with one's negative thoughts. And that's probably a kind of unusual notion when we think about negative thoughts. How can you, or why would you want to become friendly with your negative thoughts? What I'd like to share today are very, very simple things. They're not at all necessarily easy things to follow, but they're simple and they're practical. And one of the fundamental considerations about it is this idea of be friendly with your negative thoughts. Establish a friendly relationship so that you're not avoiding, you're not pushing away, or doing any of those fearful kinds of things.
Can I ask you a question about that?
Mm-hmm.
When I know I've come to you as your son so many times with the worst things that happened to me, and I'm, you know, calling you or visiting you or, you know, well, this happened to me. And the last thing in the world that I ever want to do, you know, is I want to get away from my negative thoughts. I don't want to be friendly with them. I know I've you know, complained to you about that, and you've talked to me in this very way that you are. And, you know, over the years, I've come to accept and practice some of the things that you've taught me about that. But still, mm-hmm. How could we really want, I mean, how could we even consider wanting to be friendly with our negative thoughts? Like, why would somebody want to do that?
Okay. One of the images that I very often use and that I think about myself in relation to that is probably most of us have had the experience, even as little children or also as adults, of trying to keep, let's say, a beach ball underwater, or it could be a smaller ball, keep it underwater. Now, that's like, to me, that's like trying to keep the negative thoughts, which are there, which are part of what is, which are part of the reality of our own minds and our responses. And that's like trying to keep that beach ball underwater. Now, what happens when you're trying to keep the ball underwater? I mean, I'm just going to ask you, even
it just,
though I know the answer.
It just, there's almost a force like pushing it up, and it slips out of my hands, and it just keeps popping up over the surface.
That's
I can't
right.
keep it underwater.
Yeah, or if you can for a long time, because let's say it's a smaller ball and you can do it, it almost takes all your attention, and it certainly takes a lot of energy. And that's the way it is with trying to avoid the negative thoughts, not to look at them, not to have them, because they're there underwater, and we are using a lot of energy that could be used in much more positive way, much more better, beneficial way. We're using that to hold them under. And just as you said, what happens most of the time anyway is that we can't sustain that, or something slips and whoop, you know, they pop up. And so energetically, that's one reason why we would want to become friendly with them, because otherwise they'll pop up anyway. And you've probably heard the saying, what you resist persists.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one reason why we would want to be friendly with them. And actually there are more than one reasons or
but couldn't we
in that image. Hmm?
Couldn't we just, like, I mean, treat them like with, I mean, at arm's length? I mean, they're still bad, they're still negative, they're still, it's a horrible, awful thing. Why would I want to be friendly with it? I mean, that just sounds like I would be getting intimate or close to something that is awful and horrible and terrible.
Well, you see, the judgment or the perception that they are awful and horrible is a negative thought in itself that follows from the first negative thought. And so the moment you go in that direction, you're creating a chain of negative thoughts.
I see.
Whereas when we become friendly with them and just acknowledge that they're there, acknowledge that they are a part of us, that they just bubble up, you know, they're like bubbles that float up from the bottom of a quiet pond and come up to the surface and pop and dissolve into the air. We can treat them like that rather than the beach ball that we're trying to keep underwater.
But how do we become friendly with our negative thoughts when we don't feel like doing that? I know when some of the worst things that happen in life, you know, a family tragedy or a situation with work or money or, you know, homelessness, all the kinds of different tragedies and nightmares that can and do happen to people in life, and it's right in the worst part of it where it's probably the best time to work with the negative thoughts, but that's the least time when I would feel like even talking to anyone or writing or doing an exercise or something like that. How do you handle negative thoughts when you feel...
That comes to a second important thing, and we'll certainly come back to the being friendly at some point, I hope. The second point that I would really like to make, and if I say nothing else or get across nothing else other than these two points, I'll be very happy today. The second one is this: the practice of noticing or of being the witness. And the witness, I mean, we know what it is to witness something. You are an observer of it. You're not part of it. You're not in the action of it, but you are observing it, you are witnessing it. And I'm talking about witness with a capital W, that's how I put it, and which means observing without making a judgment. So when we say this is awful, this is horrible, and this is pleasurable, and this is good, and this is what I want, we are living, as you said earlier, we're living in the in the world of duality, and that is the material world that we're living in, which also exists in our minds, and all our perceptions are that way. We see light, we see dark, we smell this, we smell that. It's very much pleasure-pain oriented. It's a dichotomy. And as soon as we go into the this is good, this is bad, I like this, I don't like that, which is perfectly fine, which is just the way it is, we are diving right into and being part of this world of dichotomy, the split world. And by noticing, sitting back in a sense, and witnessing what is going on, we create some distance from that dichotomy, and we're able to get a different perspective, and there's a lot more peace and calmness and a wider understanding, and also choices, more choices can arise out of that position vis-a-vis the positive and negative than if we're diving into one or diving into the other.
I know that I know that what you're talking about, this distancing, I mean, I'm listening and partly I'm going, well, why would I, you know, so what? We're in the world of duality, so why would I want to, you know, what's the value of distancing? And even as I'm saying that, I'm realizing that that's the essential ingredient for handling negative thoughts with the clear talk method, at least. And then I'll ask you, after I just make a quick comment about that for people that are listening, so that you understand that what Devika is saying is that it's essential to get distancing from your negative thoughts, meaning so you can be objective about them in clear talk. You in order to be able
to... And
the
positive ones as well, I want to just add.
Yeah, because if you can't really work with your thoughts unless you can be aware of them or notice them. And
exactly,
when you can
yeah.
be aware of them and notice them, then you can write them down or you can, you know, declare them like an exercise in your mind, and then you can start mm-hmm. to do the thought work. Without that, mm-hmm. it's not possible to even use clear talk or use any of these mind power methods, and that's probably one of the main reasons why that's one of the top two things that people find is a difficulty in doing this mind work or transforming your life with mind powers, because they're not able to get objective.
Mm-hmm. And the objective position is a very wonderful, calming one. And I don't mean calming in the sense of static. It's very dynamic. It's very energetic. But it's much more calm. It's kind of like sitting in the eye of the storm, some people might say. And you're observing it, but you're not in the drama of it. And that includes both the positive and the negative. So this skill, and it is a skill, and I would like at some point today to just give some examples of how we can practice that skill of noticing and of being the witness, and also of noticing the negative thoughts that pop up, being friendly with them, as I said before, and then switching them, because once we become aware that, whoops, there's one, there's that negative thought that popped up, we can say, oh, you know, hello there. And then, only then can we make the choice to switch to something that we feel is better and something that is more beneficial, not only for myself, but for everyone around.
This morning I just happened to be having breakfast. One of our guests at breakfast was a martial arts champion at a pretty high level. And he was talking about how, he was sitting there very centered and bright-eyed, and you could tell, you know, this is a guy who knows how to do this objectivity. And in his field of martial arts, where he has this almost friendly composure about his adversary, and he just was like, you know, when you first start off with your, you know, match in his sport, you have to just kind of like test your opponent. And in that sense, if we think of our negative thoughts, even for those of us like myself who sometimes just can't get that friendly with them, he was saying, like, you know, he gets friendly with his opponent so he can get to know them better, so that he can sort of test them out a little bit and see who they are. And he said that's the only way that he can really win and be sort of guaranteed of winning time and time again, is that he has to get into this state of, I think it sounds like what you're talking about, being friendly with, you know, even though it's sort of contradictory with your opponent, it's your adversary, it's your enemy. You know, these negative thoughts are often looked at that way, and in reality they really seem to be, you know, the very opposite of what we want to be experiencing, like an enemy. And so
that's exactly what I'm suggesting, is by being friendly, that since they are a part of our mind, these negative thoughts, and they, you know, they are not the enemy. If we regard them as the enemy, we are splitting ourselves. We are then creating conflict with ourselves, within ourselves. And so by not treating them like the enemy, but by treating them, looking at them, for example, as they are very often, the negative thoughts are actually defenses that our mind has created in order to help us to survive. Now, they're very often defenses that then are no longer serve us or actually stand in our way. But originally, and that's why we can kind of be friendly with them, because we can say, oh, you know, thank you for trying to help me. Thank you for trying to defend me, for trying to serve me in my survival, and then say, but, you know, your service is no longer needed, kind of thing, or it's not needed in this particular way. I sometimes think of the negative thoughts that arise out of this kind of protection. You know, we need protection, and they're trying to protect us. I think of them as a kind of bodyguard that becomes overzealous, and instead of just kind of walking behind us and noticing if there's anything amiss or that it should watch out for, they're kind of beside us and in front of us and going all around us, and they're actually, you know, we're practically tripping over them. We are. But they're trying, this bodyguard is trying to defend us. And that's my understanding from the work with hundreds of people by now of a lot of the negative thoughts, where they arise from, is from this original intention of trying to defend us, trying to help us to survive.
Probably you've worked with thousands of people, if you're referring to your clients over the years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And can I ask
an example?
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to give a quick example. For example, a child who has grown up with an aggressive alcoholic father learns to be very vigilant, on guard, and might have all kinds of negative thoughts popping up about this is not safe, or he looks aggressive, or whatever, you know, those kinds of thoughts. But they arise out of that original need for the child to protect itself against that situation. And other negative thoughts are simply habits that need to be broken. They're conditioning. They're, and they're like the dog who has been trained to salivate when the bell goes instead of when the food is presented. It's not natural, but that has become its conditioned response. And so a lot of us have become conditioned in some very negative thoughts and negative patterns. And they're not our fault in the sense that we learned them and we were conditioned in them, and now it's up to us to unlearn. So in these ways, I don't fundamentally look at the negative thoughts as being awful. It's more like let's be friendly, thank them for what they originally were trying to do for us, or see them as a habit that we've gotten into, and make a switch.
One of the things that I asked people to do in the last week's teleseminar that are in the program is to do something a little bit different than we normally do. We normally write on the left side of the paper, not necessarily only negative thoughts, which is what's happening in the current reality. But in this case, I said, could you please, for this exercise and for everyone who's listening who did it, I'm going to tell you, you know, why we did it that way and what to do about it right now. And then we'll get back to talking with Devika and go further with this. But it's the reason that we did it is because of what Devika was just talking about. You have your negative thoughts written on the paper, and for those who did the exercise, you still have the negative thoughts on the left side, and you've put the positive thoughts on the right side. And what I wanted you to do is to have an experience of, you know, I'll just say in my case, and some of the people that I talked to, they weren't able to actually keep the paper because what happened to me, and I don't want to get too much into this because I know everyone had their own experience, and then that was all that matters. And now you can rip the paper in two if you haven't already done that and just be done with that exercise. But something happens when you put the negative thoughts down on the paper. They start to change because just in the process of noticing them and writing them down and getting them into the thought level, it changes. And then when you put in your own universe what you imagine is better than that, it literally neutralizes it. And that piece of paper that you have with both of them, for those who have managed to hold some of those sheets of paper, I still have a couple of them. But the ones that I wrote a week or two ago, I couldn't hold them. I had to rip them and throw them away because it just felt like it was over. I didn't want to hold the negative thoughts anymore. The energy had dissipated. That somehow in the process of writing them down and putting them down, they had literally transformed. Because, I don't know, I just had to throw that in there because whatever you were saying made me think about the exercise and the reason that we had done it. But we can...
I think that's exactly what can happen by noticing them without making a judgment. Like, that then leads us into another negative thought about that negative thought, and then another negative thought about that negative thought, you know, the whole chain. If we just notice them without making a judgment, then in fact, noticing and noticing and noticing, and it can be 100 times in a day, it can be 1,000 times in a day. But if we just kind of notice them without the reaction to them and without making a story about them and going into that story, they do, just as you said, they do have a tendency to dissipate. But we can also go a further step after that. One of the things that I have done with the people that I did the pilot project with from your group is suggested to them that one of the ways, it's a very simple practice that you can do as many times of the day as you can notice that a negative thought has popped up. And it was suggested by spiritual teacher Thich Nhat Hanh, which some of you may know, is you notice it and you say, "Hello, darling, I know you."
To your negative thoughts?
Yes. You notice something comes up, and then you just say, "Hello, darling, I know you."
And let it go. What if you're a guy?
You can say, "Darling."
All right. So you're literally like using like a loving language.
An endearment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's kind of like sometimes I use the example of if a little child wants your attention, they just come up to you again and again. And if you say, "Not now, not now, go away, not now, not now," they'll just keep coming back and it'll get stronger and stronger. If you lean down and go eye to eye with them and give them your full attention for 30 seconds, they'll probably go away and play.
I'd like just briefly tie in to the theme of our whole 12 weeks,
yes,
is collective thoughts. And
mm-hmm.
just in case anybody was thinking that we've strayed off of that and, you know, gone down into a pit of negativity, or that we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death here or something like that, well, we kind of are, but we're doing it with our sights on the fact that we are once again not only dealing with manifesting here, but we're dealing with collective thought forms, because a lot of the judgments and the fears and the ideas that you know, there's good and evil, good and evil are collective thought forms. You know, bad and good are collective thought forms. And as far as how each one of us interprets those things and decides or discriminates or determines whether something is good or bad at the level of the mind is, you know, we're dealing with just two of the most powerful negative thought form or thought forms, collective thought forms rather, good and bad, or good and evil. We spoke about that in a previous teleseminar, and so I just wanted to make that link that we are dealing with very powerful collective thought forms here, which is that there is such a thing as a negative thought and a positive thought, a positive affirmation or a bad feeling. These are thought forms. If I say, "Ooh, I'm having a bad feeling," I just labeled my feeling with a collective thought form called a bad feeling, and or a bad thought, or a bad idea, or just bad or good. And so, you know, these two thought forms, good and bad, good and evil, and their derivatives, like a bad feeling, a bad idea, a bad thought, so on, a good idea, a good thought, a positive affirmation, a negative affirmation, these are words that are collective thought forms, negative and positive, and I highly recommend that you people look at how you're using those collective thought forms in your manifesting scripts, and then also the other reason why we're spending a whole teleseminar on this particular subject is what I said at the beginning of the teleseminar, that in order to truly apply the Clear Talk manifesting method or any manifesting method where you're using mind power successfully, meaning that what it is that you're imagining that you would like to have show up in your material reality actually starts showing up or shows up so much as it has been happening for many people and myself, that you're feeling like your dreams are coming true. The transition of a dream or of what you imagined into reality invariably causes its opposite, because when the, you know, a dream come true, you're not really saying it's good or bad. Just, hey, that was my dream come true. Or manifesting, it's not really judging it as good or bad. But underlying most manifesting is that the thing that you want, or the thing that you desire, or the thing that you're imagining, when it shows up, that would be a good thing. And this is actually something to be very, very careful about. When it shows up, I highly recommend that you just describe it for what it is, and you don't necessarily call it good or bad, but since we can't help ourselves from doing that, and since really there's nothing wrong with saying, oh, this is so good, this is so great, I just had the most wonderful experience, and you're telling all your friends and your family how great it is, and then they're waiting for the other shoe to drop, you know, next week or a month later, or people get jealous of you and they wait until you're going to fall. The more fantastic and wonderful your mind power manifesting becomes, one of the dangers and one of the pitfalls, as I said at the beginning, is that because of the law of polarity, if you manifest something and to you it appears to be, or to your friends or your family, it appears to be something very good, like you manifest $1 million, oh, that's so good. Oh, not necessarily, not for a lot of people. It's you manifested $1 million. Period. And because of the danger and the reality that people judge their manifestations when they show up in reality as something good and positive, this is why we're handling negative thoughts today. So that when that happens to you and you notice that you slipped, or I slipped, or whoever it is, and you started to judge your negative, you started to judge your positive manifestation, your success, your new car, your new relationship, your new experience, your new clothes, whatever showed up for you that you were imagining, oh, I've been successful, this is so positive, this is so good, this is so great. Now if you say you're happy or you feel a certain way, that's different. But if you start to say that it's good, if you start to say that it's positive, then you can be sure that the negative will be there with it, because everything in reality comes with its opposite. There's nothing wrong with that, except for the fact that you need to know how to handle those negative thoughts, because the more potent and powerful your manifestations, the more potent and powerful will be the negative, you know, sort of coming along with it. If you know how to handle it, like we're showing you today, then you're good to go. Forward, continuing, ongoingly, to have more and more success in your life.
Well, there's a wonderful little story that illustrates what you're saying. Probably a number of you have heard it, and I won't go into the whole thing because I see that we have a limited amount of time here.
Yeah, we have about 10 minutes left.
But it's the good luck bad luck story. You know, this farmer who has a son, and the son somehow lets and they have one mule, and they're totally dependent on that mule to do the work on the farm. And the son somehow loses the mule, and the mule runs off, and the neighbors say, oh, what bad luck. And the farmer says, shrugs his shoulders and says, good luck, bad luck, who knows? And the next day, the mule comes back and brings with him a whole herd of horses. And so then the neighbors say, oh, what good luck. And the farmer shrugs his shoulders and he says, ah, good luck, bad luck, who knows? And the son then starts training the horses, and he falls off and breaks a leg. And then the neighbors say, oh, what bad luck. And again he says, good luck, bad luck, who knows? And then soldiers come along, and they're conscripting into the army, and they don't take the boy, the son, because he has a broken leg. And so they say, oh, what good luck. And, you know, you can take the story at infinitum, right?
Yes.
So it just shows that even when a bad thing happens, from another perspective, it could be a good thing.
Now, one of the things that you've instructed me and taught me and guided me on a lot is also using the power of love, or, you know, wishing inner peace or things like that in conjunction with handling negative thoughts.
That's right. So I call it an experiment, doing an experiment in love. If we have negative thoughts about someone, for example, or myself, if I say, oh, what a stupid thing that was, what a stupid thing to do, oh, you lost it again, or whatever, you notice that you did that, you notice the negative thought, and you just not being negative about it, just noticing it, witnessing it without that judgment, and then you switch, and the switch that I suggest that's easy to remember across the board is, may I, or may he, or may she have inner peace. Just simply wishing that instead of whatever else you thought that was much more negative. And
so you just replace the thought with the phrase, may he or she...
May he have inner peace, for example. I have an angry thought about someone, or someone disappointed me, and I think about that in some way. And I notice it, and then I switch, and I simply say, may he have inner peace.
Now, I just want to point out for people listening that the other problem with using mind power is focusing and concentrating, and over several years of taking Devika's advice, taking my mother's advice about what she's talking about right now and using this exact phrase, may he or she have inner peace. I mean, I talk about people that were, you know, enemies, or like I had a really bad problem in a business partnership or something like that, and then this is what, you know, would come out of it. I'm supposed to just think of, may he or she have inner peace, or may they have inner peace. And I notice that when these thoughts come up, it could be at any time, and so you have to be kind of able to focus and concentrate your mind. You have to be rather vigilant, you know, doing it continuously. Sometimes, maybe for a year or 2 years even, I'll end up still having those thoughts from time to time, and I just do the same thing. May he have inner peace. May she have inner peace. And I just want to say it works. It works very effectively, but you need to be able to focus and concentrate your mind. And doing your clear talk exercise every day in all the 12 areas of your life trains you to focus and concentrate your mind. And then you can use it in other ways, like what Devika's instructing right now as far as handling negative thoughts about other people. You can use it for yourself too, you're saying?
Yes, yes. We make a lot of judgments about ourselves that are very negative. If we were able to record our thoughts, and thank goodness that we can't, because 80 to 90% of our thoughts are just totally useless. They're just blips, you know, just thoughts popping up. If we could record them, we would notice a lot of negativity towards ourselves. Just small little comments, and they don't even need to be comments. It can just be, I did something, and you know, that kind of there's a negative thought attached to it, but we don't even precise it in a verbal way. So yes, we can use it ourselves. And the reason why I chose the phrase inner peace, it's kind of a selfish altruism, you know, because if the other person has inner peace, you know, if our blessing actually manifests in them, then they would not be disturbing to us if they were actually having inner peace. So it's like the highest thing that you can wish for someone, and it would also have the highest blessing on yourself. It would reflect back on yourself.
Oh, because if myself or someone else that was bothering me or disturbing me or trouble in my reality was in a state of inner peace, then they wouldn't be bothering me anymore, or I wouldn't be upset anymore.
Yes, yes. So it's the highest thing that you can wish them. But sometimes our anger energy, I was speaking to someone recently about precisely this. I was giving her that as an exercise for a particular situation. And she said, oh, I can already imagine that there are times when I'm just not going to feel like wishing that person inner peace. You know, even if I can think that ultimately, yes, it would be good for me too. And I said, well, use the energy of your feeling, of your emotion, while you're saying it. So in my own case, I noticed this. I was wishing someone inner peace in my own mind, and I noticed that there was still that emotion that was kind of going counter to that. And so I started to say with the emotion, may he be immersed in inner peace. May he be flooded with inner peace. And, you know, the strength of the expression and adding the emotion to it, but still having it be a blessing, dissipated the emotion. I actually started laughing about it.
I see. So that's how we can deal with the feelings, because I was thinking the trouble that people have, or that I have, when it's time to handle a negative thought is that we don't feel like doing it. And what you're saying is put the feeling into the thought of inner peace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we can also, there are a couple of other things that we can do too, and that is it's okay to fake it until we make it. If we have the intention that we're going towards feeling it from our hearts eventually.
Okay. Now, I understand for people, some of the people who are on the call and maybe some of the people who are listening to the recording don't know this, but earlier in the Have You Manifested a Million Dollars Yet program, because Devika is preparing, what is it? It's a three-part audio.
That's right. Audio files. Mm-hmm. One is going to be talking about negative thoughts and just in general, a bit like we've done today, but in more detail. And the second one will be practices in switching, in dealing with it. And the third one is actually a sitting practice, whereas the second one is on the spot practicing it in our lives, in everyday situations. The third audio file is going to be about sitting. It's a guided instructional practice tape that involves being able to focus and concentrate, practicing it, and also practicing noticing what's going on in our own mind and handling that. So there are three aspects of it. And actually, I would like to just make a couple of suggestions for the on-the-spot practice of observing, first of all, noticing negative thoughts, and then switching them to something better. I'll just preface it a little bit by saying that when we're involved in manifesting, we're usually concentrating on trying to think positively and visualize the things that we want. And very often, we don't practice that same thing in the rest of our life. It's kind of like going to church on Sunday and then forgetting all about it the rest of the week. So the kind of things in everyday life, we already mentioned one that you could practice. If I think negatively concerning myself, I make some kind of judgment or about someone else, we can use this standard kind of switch. Notice that I have it. Don't react to it. Say, hello, darling. There you are again. I know you. And then switch it to may I or may he, may she have inner peace. That's one. We can practice it in everyday life. For example, whenever I'm walking on the street or driving and I hear a siren or I see an accident, usually the first thought is quite negative, the spontaneous thought, oh, that's terrible. I wonder what's happened. How many people are hurt? And it's that it's terrible is usually our first thought. And why put that into the universe? You know, you talked about the power of thought. And so when we notice that we have that kind of thought in the face of a piece of news, the fire truck going by, the siren, hearing about an accident that someone had, instead of the, oh, that's terrible, we notice it, that we had that thought, and immediately switch it to, and here again I have a stock phrase, may everyone involved be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm projecting that, I'm wishing that, and to the ambulance driver, to the person that's hurt, to those who are watching, to their family, to their friends, to everyone who is involved in that, including myself. And so rather than being a helpless bystander saying it's terrible, I'm actually doing something.
Helping out
and
in the situation. Well, our time is already past a couple of minutes, so we need to close it up. But I wanted to ask if it's all right if, you know, I want to point out just before we close quickly that Devika is not only a licensed psychologist, but she's been doing this and teaching yoga and working in her own meditation for many years, and so where she's coming from and the place that she's speaking from is highly advanced in my opinion, and I've tried myself some of the things that she suggests with tremendous results and some of the most difficult things that I had to handle. So I was wondering, is it all right if people wanted to do a session with you? I know you don't normally do phone sessions. You usually see people in person, but are you comfortable with people emailing you and requesting to do a phone session with you if they wanted to privately work with you about their negative thoughts?
Yes, that would be just fine.
Now, we're talking about a paid session, of course. I am not saying a free session. I know you offered
a pilot project. I did the pilot project with some of your clients.
Yeah, you did a free session, but...
Yes, a free session with a couple of emails back and forth to orient and then a session on the phone. And part of the reason for doing that was to elicit more about how people, you know, how people are experiencing the negative thoughts and the problem there and the problem in focus and concentration. And then to see how I would work with that with just an email and a phone session, and it worked out very, very well.
Okay, so people could write to your mastery@experimentsinlove.com email and request a phone session.
There,
okay.
And then we could go from there.
Okay, that's mastery@experimentsinlove.com. And just write to Devika and just say you'd like to you know, book a private session or talk about, you know, booking a private session, and then you could call and have a paid session with her. I would highly recommend that for anybody who's interested in further working with Devika or hearing from her about negative thoughts. Now, we're already getting overtime quite a bit, so I want to thank you very much, as obviously it mattered a great deal and means a lot to me that you offered to be part of this this Have You Manifested $1 Million Yet program, and especially that you would actually come on the call and share your expertise and your love and your caring for other people on the seminar today. Thank you for coming.
Well, it was my great pleasure, really.
All right.
Thank you. Inviting me too.
You're welcome. So today is done. I just want to remind people that that are on the call today and people that are listening to this recording, $1,000,009 as we are coding them, that $1,000,010 a week from now, or for those of you who are listening to the recordings, it may already be there, depending when you listen to these recordings, we're going to make a quantum leap. We're going to really keep moving forward as we get ready to close. We're on the home stretch, so to speak, with only number 10, 11, and 12. That's three teleseminars left after this one. We're building an energy. We're working with an energy that is designed to help you work with collective thought forms and amplify and boost your results manifesting with thought power absolutely super tremendously during the time that you're in the 12-week teleseminar or listening to it, and especially afterwards, after you've had time to integrate and digest everything that we're teaching you. And since we're dealing with collective thought forms, I am going to present you next week with the work of someone who actually is the person who pretty much channeled the first five chapters of the Life Transformation Formula ebook. I have never before felt that it was right or appropriate or safe even to discuss that. I've actually been asked not to reveal or discuss that information for many years, but we are going to spend the whole next teleseminar speaking about that person and his philosophy or his ideas and his imagination and his working with collective thought forms was still to this day, even though he's passed over on the other side now, and I'll just be telling my story about his story and also attaching to the show 10 on the blog, a radio show that has never been publicly released that he recorded in more than 10 years ago. And he said, you know, that was the best of the radio shows that he ever recorded. It's very interesting, very unusual, and the purpose of show number 10 is going to be to give you an example of how far you can go with your imagination, how extremely out there you can get with working with the collective thought forms, mastering the collective thought forms. He was absolutely tremendously capable of looking at things in life, at the collective thought forms, whether it was a baseball or the concept of love and making love or the concepts about what the world is and why we're here. And he could just apply his imagination to that, whether it was because of the channeling that he was doing or just he had this amazing ability to work with collective thought forms. I'm going to spend the whole show bringing you into that and letting you experience that in a way that I think is going to really, really help you extend and expand your boundaries as you continue, now that you know how to work with collective thoughts after all the teleseminars and training that you've received so far and the experience that you're getting by working with them in your manifesting scripts. We're going to really turn things up a notch and expand your boundaries far, far further than you thought they ever could be expanded. I think that's what's going to happen in $1,000,000 number 10. And so thanks again, everyone, and Devika for being on the call today. This is George L. Preslian from $1,000,000mindpower.com with peace and love.